Eitat. This. Vai. Certainly. Shradaya. With faith. Bhaktya. By devotional service. Yoga Abhyasena. By the practice of yoga. Nityashaha. Always. Samahita Atma. He whose mind is fixed. Nisangaha. Aloof from material association. Virakcha. By detachment. Paripashyati. Understands. Translation, this perfect knowledge can be achieved by a person who is already engaged in devotional service with faith, steadiness, and full detachment, and who is always absorbed in thought of the Supreme. He is aloof from material association. You can repeat, this perfect knowledge can be achieved by a person who is already engaged in devotional service. With faith, steadiness, and full detachment. And who is always absorbed in thought of the Supreme. He is aloof from material association. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. The atheistic, mystic practitioner of yoga cannot understand this perfect knowledge. Only persons who engage in the practical activities of devotional service and full Krishna consciousness can become absorbed in full samadhi. It is possible for them to see and understand the actual fact of the entire cosmic manifestation and its cause. It is clearly stated here that this is not possible for one who has not developed devotional service and full faith to understand. The words samahitatma and samadhi are synonymous. Etadvai shradaya bhaktya yoga vyasena nityashaha samahitatma nasango virakja paripashyati. So, Om Ganat Timurandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, there's many interesting topics in this verse, of course. First thing that Śrīla Prabhupāda commented on was the word samahitātmā, which is actually quite an interesting word, meaning one who is absorbed, one who is equipoised, one who is satisfied, the self, actually basically the self, one, you know, the same thing, one who is absorbed and satisfied and equipoised. This is actually the word samahitātmā. And samādhi, which Prabhupada equates with that word, means one who is actually meditating and equipoised. So this word samadhi, it's actually samadhi instead of samadhi. It's a little bit different pronunciation than most people are accustomed to using. Starts with being equipoised. And of course, this is what's being dealt with previously in this chapter, this question of nirapeksha, you know, detachment. Not a question of negativity towards the material energy, but a question of just being equal. Vidyavinaya sampanaya, and I gave quotes on that in the last few days. Vidyavinaya sampanaya brahmani gavihastini shuti cheva supalki cha pandita sapadarshana, the learned and gentle sage is equal dog to a dog, dog eater, outcast, etc., 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 like that. And also we have the qualities of a Brahman, which I also quoted that verse the other day, isn't it? Sama dhamma dabakcho chum, etc. First quality of a Brahman is sama. So this is actually a really important quality. And so unless someone is sama, that is equipoise, not only when he's meditating, but actually throughout the whole day, not just, this is actually one of the principles of advancement and devotional service, that one's steadiness, which is described as nishta, in the progressive march of devotional service, is not just in the temple room, but it's, you know, the whole day, 24 hours a day. Yeah, that's what initiatives of two types. If you go through the progressive march of devotional service, initiatives of two types, that is, you know, when in one's sadhana and in one's personal activities outside of the sadhana, 24 hours a day. So that's what it means to be in samadhi. Not that one can say, you know, right now I'm in samadhi and then I'm going to the movies, you know, next hour. Like Prabhupada would question the Western yoga practitioners. You know, they practice yoga in a city and then they go and engage in sinful activities. So the words samadhi, actually not samadhi, samadhi, which is actually the correct pronunciation, means 24 hours a day. So, interestingly enough, in this verse, we're actually given the information how to become absorbed like that. And if you notice in the words of the verse, I think I have them up there, there's certain words that actually indicate something else. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to allow you to guess it. There's the words faith, steadiness, full detachment, absorption, and aloofness. So what do they indicate insofar as what we've learned about devotional service? Or what? That's right. You got it. Wow. Passed the test. They're actually some of the stages, which is really interesting. You know, actually here in this verse, Lord Kapila is mentioning the stages from Shraddha to Prema. Basically, not all the stages, of course, but, you know, there's, but samadhi, you know, that's nishta. So let's start with the beginning. So faith is, of course, what? Shraddha. Mm-hmm. That's etat vai shraddhaya bhakja. So that is ado shraddha. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, too, as well as mentioned in the Madhurya Kadambini and by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Samodana, which is his commentary on the Shikshashtaka, as well as on the stages of devotional service, as well as on the stages of Krishna's Ashtakaliya Leela. So, ado shraddha. And so what is that faith? Sometimes that faith is... That faith is mentioned as, you know, preliminary faith or interest or something like that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that faith as faith in the Vedic literatures and faith in the process of devotional service and faith in the spiritual master. The same thing that's being described in the Bhagavatam, Yasha Devi Pura Bhakti Yata Devi Tata Kuru. One who has faith in the spiritual master, one who has faith in the Vedic literatures, everything's revealed to one, right? It's that same thing. And of course, Krishna, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita, in the ninth chapter, about one who doesn't have faith? No one knows that verse.
Riches.
Samsaravartmani, yeah. But what, how does it start? The opposite of shraddha is what? Ashraddhana. Anyone know that verse? Ashraddhana purusha dharmashasya taprantapa apraprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani, which is basically in Sanskrit. You put the in front of something, it means the opposite, like ashraddhana. That means one purusha, the person, or the purusha sometimes means man, but in this case, it means person kind. Anyway, so Ashraddhana Purusha Dharma Shasha Paranta. Oh, and he's addressing Arjuna. What does Parantapa mean? Does anyone know?
One who punishes his enemies?
It basically means mighty armed. Mighty armed. Parantapa. Ashraddhana Purusha Dharma Shasha Parantapa. In this process of Krishna consciousness, which is Dharma, Dharma means the inherent quality of something or the process of, achieving spiritual perfection. Aprapya mam, and then there's the word prapya. Prapya, just like prapti, means to take, and aprapya means to not take. So he does not get. in other words, Aprapya Mam. Mam means, of course, Krishna, because Krishna is talking about himself. Aprapya Mam Nivartanta, he doesn't achieve. Mrityu Samsara Vartmani, then he continues on the path of death, you know, repeated. Mrityu Samsara means repeated birth and death. Vartmani means path. Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. So this faith is really important. I mean, it's essential. You can't do devotional service without faith. And actually, also another verse is, I don't remember the sense, for the doubting soul there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. That's another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, and I don't remember the Sanskrit for that verse. But anyway, so, I mean, it's just like, you can't even get happiness in this world without faith. So, and we've discussed this before, one achieves faith by associating with those who have faith, by practical experience. What's that? Volume up. Up volume. As they would say in Hindi, up volume. You know, it's really interesting how they say things in Hindi. It says, like they say, off the lights. Because they switch the order around. Instead of turn the lights off, it's off the light. Anyway, so up the volume. I got to be careful because I'm learning Hindi. I'm going to start speaking English really weird after a while. So, in Fiji, they say that all the time. Off it. Huh? In English, we say turn it off. Okay, got it. So anyway, so you know, one achieves the faith through various means, but actually in the Madhurya Kadambi, it says there's two types of faith. There's one that's natural, and there's forced faith. Does everyone remember that? Natural and forced faith. Natural faith comes like after many, many births. You know, Bahunam Janmanamante Yanavamam Prapadjante Vasudeva Sarvamiti. That's also described in that verse. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlaba. After many, many births, one comes to the understanding Vasudeva is everything. Such a great soul is very, very rare. So that's a natural faith after many, many births, you know. That finally, yeah, I have faith, you know, I surrender, you know. And of course, the faith is described as Shraddhasya Devasya Sakahi Sudhredanas Yad, believing that if you simply worship Krishna, everything is accomplished, everything is spiritual. I mean, it's not that you simply worship Krishna and, you know, don't make any endeavor to put a coat on your back or something like that when it's cold, you know, just like it's freezing outside and you just go outside and you say, I'm just chanting Hare Krishna, that takes care of everything. But, you know, faith in the process of devotional service is also it's important to have faith in the way Krishna's arranged the material energy. You know, it's not going to change just for you. If you jump off the building, the material energy is not going to, you know, make a nice cushion for you unless you happen to be someone like that Vishishta Muni who tried to commit suicide and he jumped off a mountain cliff and there were cushions down there. Yeah, or Prahlad Maharaj was thrown off a mountain. Anyway, so that's faith. And so there's natural faith and also forced faith. Forced faith means like if when the association devotee, someone really preaches to you, you know, you go come up to some Christian and says, you got to have faith in the Lord or you're going to hell. And you say, you know, I have faith. Because you're scared. What is it? Scare the bejesus out of you. That's actually the statement. He scared the bejesus out of you, so you're going to hell. You know, I have faith. Oh, I believe. Like someone puts a gun to your head and says, surrender. Okay. No question. That's forced surrender. You know. Serve Krishna. Okay. And sometimes, you know, we may do that as managers in the ISKCON movement, you know. Serve Krishna or no prasadam today. So anyway, so... You don't get to eat the feast unless you've done this first. So anyway, so that's forced faith. So, but we're interested in the natural faith that occurs through association with devotees, cultivation of devotional service, one's experience in Krishna consciousness, like Prabhupada said, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. You know, when we first introduce people to Krishna consciousness, we just get them to chant. We don't say we're not like Christians say, you got to believe in Krishna. I mean, sometimes we may do that, but that's not so productive. We just say chant, whether you believe in it or not. That's one of the things I do when I preach to people. I say, it doesn't matter whether you believe in it. Just you believe in it or not, it'll work. It'll work. You know, soon you will experience ecstasy. You know what I mean? You will experience detachment. You want to shave your head. It'll work. Tomorrow, every day, more and more. Anyway, it's not that you use, sometimes devotees use hypnotic techniques, you know, just to implant a post-hypnotic suggestion in someone's mind. But basically, we have faith in the holy names that if we give them to people, that's why there's, the Hari Nam, and people don't know what's happening when they're chanting Hare Krishna. But then, you know, they get that. Eventually, they get that faith through the experience of Krishna consciousness. So that's the faith. And then, of course, after faith, those shraddhata, sadhu sangha, then you want to associate with those who have faith, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, and you want to do what they're doing. That's why Prabhupada emphasized that association is very important. Prabhupada said, like association with devotees, living with devotees, is like if one is engaged in the stock market. Of course, nowadays the stock market's not so popular, but then you go to the stock market and everybody's engaged and you get into the fervor there, isn't it? Oh, AT&T up 3/4, like that. And I remember when I was in Miami Beach, there's all these old people who have investments in the stock market. They would go to the brokerage houses. And the brokerage houses would always have like a big room where with seats in it, where they would watch the ticker tape together. You ever seen that? Yeah, there's a TV or a ticker tape, actually. You know, all the symbols for the different companies, you know. And it really takes you about, like, it's like learning a language, all the different symbols for the different AT&T, IBM. That's easy. Everybody knows that. But then the GM, everybody knows that. But there's all these symbols, the different and then people invested in these different companies. And they're all sitting there, you know, all the men, usually not women, but all the old men are sitting there. Watching, getting into the mood together. But you go by, you know, they're wondering why they have, they have brain damage or something like that. Because they're seeing their money either, you know, increase or decrease, you know, so, and they're having a heart attack. So usually they have a paramedic in the back of these, or they have a paramedic on call, because these are all old people in Miami Beach. And so and everybody's getting into it. So that's association, you know. That's their RT. That's their version of RT, you know. You know, we have our, like, Kiba Jai, and they have Kiba AT&T, you know, whatever. And so this association is really important. And, you know, it's boring if you're just sitting home watching the ticker. I mean, at least it would be for me. So, And so we have to, you know, we associate with devotees because we increase each other's enthusiasm. And actually the chanting of the holy names and the Krishna Katha becomes more potent in the association of devotees. What is that? That Lord Kapiladev speaks about that too. He says, there's that verse, Satam prasangan mamavirya samvaro bapanti vritkarna rasayana katha to joshanadashi upavarga bhartmani of shraddha ratira bhakti nukramishati. He says the devotees, prasangam, that means they have the good association or a lot of association, mamavirya, and they hear about Krishna in that association. And in this way, he also gives the progressive march of devotional service in the end of that verse, shraddha. He says in this way, the faith increased, shraddha, Ratir, taste, he doesn't give all the steps. And then bhakti, or, you know, prema. Anukramishati, they follow after one another. It's an important verse spoken by Lord Kapila. Prabhupada would quote that verse. So, anyway, shraddha, sadhu sangata, and then bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya, also, there's two ways of executing bhajana kriya. One is like, Vaidhi, and the other one is Raghunuga, you know, where one is doing it spontaneously. There's usually not a clear-cut distinction between the two. It's just that as you do your Vaidhi, hopefully, then it'll become more and more spontaneous, more and more enjoyable for you, more and more attractive to you. Sadhu Sangata Bhajana Kriya, Nartana Vritti, then the anarthas begin to dissipate. And the anarthas, it's interesting, of course, we don't need to describe the anarthas, we've given other classes about that before, but the anarthas go away gradually. It's not that after you go past the stage of anartha nivritti, they're all gone, but some of them are a little bit gone, some of them are mostly gone, some of them are completely gone, and some of them are absolutely gone, depending upon the stage you're at. Absolutely gone means they can't come back. But even in bhava, you can get, some anarthas back. If you're not, they're gone, but they're not absolutely gone because they can come back, like in the case of Bharat Maharaj. So anyway, so then, it's very interesting. Then you have bhava. I'm jumping ahead. Then anartha nivritti. After anartha nivritti, then comes this stage mentioned here, which is nishta, being stable externally, internally. And then as the nishta, you get ruchi, two types of ruchi, right? I'm just reviewing everything. Ruchi is when you have a taste, when someone good is leading kirtan, and you can't stand it when someone is bad singer is leading kirtan. That's my big challenge, you know. If someone can't keep a tune, plays off key, then I just go on, ah! But someone who actually has ruchi, the higher stage of ruchi, even if someone is singing off key, this is nectar. Yeah, I have to be frank, that's a challenge for me, you know. If someone is, I have to be frank, I'm not saying it's nectar, I'm like, get me out of here. But, you know, that's my stage in devotional service, what can I say? So then ruchi, and then after that, was also being described here, always absorbed in thought of the Supreme. What is that? Ashakti. And that stage of Ashakti is really interesting because at that stage of Ashakti, which is, you know, absorption in the Supreme, then your mind will automatically go to Krishna. Even at the stage of Nishta, your mind automatically goes sometimes to that, you know, illusion, and then you got to pull it back. But in the stage of Ashakti, your mind automatically goes to Krishna, and you can't figure out how it went to Krishna. In the stage of Nishta, you can't figure how it went to Maya. You're an arti, and all of a sudden you're thinking, you know, what's for dinner tonight? Is that happens? You know, you're Nishta, you know, you're steady. Yeah, sure, you're steady. You're going, Hiba Jaya, Jaya Gora Chandi, and you're thinking, I'm really hungry. Oh. It may happen even at Nishta. But in Ashakti, you're trying to think, you know, what's for dinner? And then your mind goes to Krishna eating. That's the difference. That's the difference in where the mind functions on the two stages of devotion. Then the mind goes, oh, Krishna would like this, Krishna would like that. Hey, what about me? Oh, no, forget about me. So that's Ashakti, Krishna Ashakti. And then after Ashakti, then there's bhava. And then, of course, prema. And then there's two stages of prema. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we actually gave a class on this at Govardhan, it was really nice. Bhaktivinoda Thakur equates each or several of the stages with different verses in the Shikshashtaka. That's really interesting. He equates the first Ado Shraddha with the first verse in the Shikshashtaka, you know, Cheto Darpana Marjana. All glory is the Sankirtan movement, which cleanses the heart of all the dirt accumulated, etc. So he equates it with that, and he equates the second verse, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Saktish, with the Saru Sangota Bhajana Kriya and Anartha Nivritti, with the three stages actually in devotional service, which is really interesting. And then the third verse, he equates with Nishta. The fourth verse, he equates with Ruchi. Fifth verse, equates with Shakti. Sixth verse, he equates with Bhava. Seventh verse, he equates with Prema. Prema prema vipra lamba, that means prema and separation, and then prema and meeting he equates with the eighth verse, like that, which is really good. I mean, it's easy to see that because the seventh verse is Nyugayitam Nimishena Chakshusha Parvishayitam Sanyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vidahena Me, O Krishna, I'm feeling your separation. Actually, it's interesting. The translation we usually have is like 12 years or more. But the literal translation is like eternity. Practically eternity. Yugayitam Nimishena. It doesn't say, actually, there's no statement like 12 years in that particular verse. You know, it's like yuga. You know, you all know what a yuga is, like a Divya Yuga. You know, there's Divya Yuga means the four ages taken together, you know. And that's a long time, it's more than 12 years. But, you know, Prabhupada gave it to us as 12 years because that's what we able to, in the beginning, what we could relate to. You know, if we just thought, if Prabhupada said a yuga, he said, what's a yuga? Is that like a Yugo? You know, one of the cars you drive, you know, from Yugoslavia. I mean, actually, so Prabhupada gave us something we could understand in the beginning. Instead of saying, you know, 8,400,000 years, you know, so 4,300,000 years. So, you know, that would be, huh? That's a lot of time. But that's how someone in the that stage of Vipralamba is thinking, you know. The gopis are actually cursing Lord Brahma for creating eyelids that blink. They're getting envious of fish. Because the fish have eyes, don't have eyelids. Can you imagine having that? Eyes open all the time? I mean, it wouldn't even be healthy for us, but anyway, with the material bodies, because the eyes have to close for various reasons to lubricate the eyes. I mean, the eyelids have to close. So, look, I mean, that's how intense it is. It's just like, it's hellish that even the eyes close for an instant. We don't even notice it. You know, all of you have blinked. What would be the plural of that? Anyway, all of you blinked, yeah, or blunk. Anyway, all of you have blunked or have blinked so many times in this class. Blink, have blinked, will blink. We'll try to blink. Anyway, so I'm trying to conjugate the verb blink. So all of you have blinked so many times in this class, and you don't even notice it. I mean, nobody's feeling morose, isn't it? When you go see the deities, nobody feels morose, that your eyes blink. You know, I can't see Radha Golokananda for a few seconds, or not even a few seconds. Like Nimishena means like 11th of a second. You get, yeah. You know, so that's intense Vipralamba, and then of course the last verse is the Samboga. Samboga means meeting. So anyway, so this is really what's being described here, and if we understand the Shikshashtika and meditate on the Shikshashtika, we'll also understand a lot more about the different stages in devotional service. And, you know, we don't have time to talk about that in class, but it's important to study the Shikshashtika as a regular daily function to understand how to advance in devotional service. And of course, when one gets really advanced in devotional service, one thinks of the Shikshashtika in terms of the Ashtakalaya Leela, the different leelas that the Lord is executing. Just like, you know, I was having a conversation with someone who was advanced yesterday, and I said, where is Krishna now? And they say, well, right now he's at Kushma Sarovara. I said, how do you know that? Anyway, so I said, you're not advanced enough to understand these things. Anyway, so that's a stage that's very advanced in devotional service. So any questions or comments about these things? So this is what's really mentioned here, that knowledge, perfect knowledge, can only be achieved when you follow the process of devotional service, beginning with Shraddha. Knowledge cannot be understood or achieved unless one has it revealed to them. It's not an ascending process, it is a descending process. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
If you did that Ashtakalaya Smara,
That's an interesting question that you have to ask that of someone who's actually advanced in Dharma. What I understand is you usually do the present time, because otherwise you'd have to get a watch and say, what time? You know, every time you try to think of Ashtakaliya Leela, I'll have to think, 10.5 hours from now, later than now. Okay, so 10.5 times 7:15. You know, I'm a mathematician by nature, but I just don't. It would be hard for me to do all those calculations and think of Krishna at the same time. But I would assume, I mean, most of the devotees who do the Ashtakaliya Leela are actually living in Vrindavan, so it's not a real problem for them. They can just see the time of the day. But I would assume you just like think about it right now, you know, what is Krishna doing? Because Krishna is here also in Nugaloka. Just like we're worshiping the deities, not according to Vrindavan time. If we were worshiping according to Vrindavan time, Mangalarti would be like 12 hours ago or something like that. Huh? You know, Mangalarti would be, yeah, like about 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night. I mean, so the deities in the temple, yeah. Actually, to answer your question, now it's clear. Because it's said by the acharyas, the Goswamis, that when you worship the deities in the temple, you do it according to their local time. You know, like we worship Krishna. We give Krishna the Raj Bhoga when it's noon here, not when it's noon in Vrindavan. Because that's convenient. So, what's that?
Just ate in the Atlantic time zone, so
it doesn't need to eat again, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Krishna's already been fed so many times in Jagannath Puri. Why does he need to eat now? You know, let's save some time and money, you know. He's eaten how many times? Like 64 times or 56 times a day in Jagannath Puri. Actually, in Jagannath Puri, the Lord has the benediction. That, not the Lord has a benediction, but the story is that his hands are never supposed to be dry. That means like he's eating all day long. What a dream. You know, that's what we dream we can be like that, you know, eating all day long, hands never dry, you know. But unfortunately, we get stomach aches when we eat for more than 5-10 minutes. So, yeah. Yeah.
What are some ways that are helpful for one to become more steady?
Well, you have to understand where the anarthas come from. That's also mentioned by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur and also by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You know, if we're going to get rid of the anarthas, we have to understand the source of them. Just like if your plumbing is leaking and there's water coming, just like sometimes in my house, actually, there's water coming, not from the plumbing, but from the roof. So some devotees try to fix it from below, which doesn't work, you know. They just like spray some bleach and get rid of the mold. But actually, the way to solve it is to get it at the source, you know, from above, which is hard to find sometimes when there's a leak in a roof. Actually, that's one of the hardest leaks to find, because it may come from like 200 feet away, not 200 feet, but you know, like 10 feet away. And it travels like, you know, you really can't figure it. It's really hard. So, but anarthas are quite easy. You can figure out where they're coming from. Like, you know, it's not a real hard, you know, it's not a hidden thing like water in the roof. Like, there's anarthas that come from sinful activities. That's a pretty easy thing to figure out. You know, sinful activities, smoking ganja. Just like, oh yeah, I just saw this part of this movie called Siddhartha. Not a Krishna conscious movie. But anyway, but someone gave it to me and said I should watch it. And the sadhus were all, and then they were raising the question. The sadhus were asked, you know, what's the difference between you and ordinarily materialistic people? Because materialistic people are getting drunk and you're smoking ganja. So, and anyway, what is the difference? I don't know. But, yeah, they had sikhas. So anarthas come from sinful activities. You know, we should stop them and stop also from thinking about sinful things too. That's a little hard sometimes, but no, you just put the thought of Krishna in there. You know, whenever it's some other thought, don't meditate on it. Just, you know, think about what you can do for it. Your mind should be absorbed in doing something for Krishna, active like that. So narthas come from sinful activities, narthas come from pious activities. Wow, that's a hard one. Like if you try to be like a material do-gooder, or you try to enjoy the beautiful sunrise without thinking about Krishna. Oh, what a beautiful sunrise. Oh, what a beautiful day. What is that song? I got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. Oh, what a beautiful, whatever. Anyway, see how those nonsense thoughts remain in my mind for the last 200 years, more than Krishna. But anyway, so yeah, you try to enjoy that. That anartha comes from that. Why? Because you're trying to enjoy. You're trying to enjoy the mode of goodness. And that's even, in a sense, more entangling than anything else, because it bewilders one with a false sense of happiness, according to Krishna, the mode of, in the Bhagavad Gita. So anarthas come from sinful activities, pious activities. Anarthas come from offenses. Ooh, that's a big one, isn't it? Offenses against, especially against Vaishnavas, or against any living entity. Just like if you have even a cockroach and you say, you dirty little cockroach, you take your hammer and go whack. You know, because that's an offense against a living entity. And then also, anarthas come from the byproducts of devotional service, where one becomes attached, let's say, to one's position, like when one gets has a service as a guru or temple president or something like that, you become attached. You know, I'm the boss, worship me, I am whatever I am. Then that's another source. So if you look at the sources, then you can stem the anarthas. Okay, everybody understands that? That's easy. Easy to understand the sources. The work on it may be a little harder. Oops. Jai Shri Prabhupada.